Hello and welcome. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com. And today we are going to be conducting an exclusive interview with someone that you've got to know about. She is the daughter of Max Gerson. He was the pioneering individual who introduced a raw foods diet or a juice diet and detoxification strategies to help people overcome cancer and many other diseases, including heart disease. And he did this decades ago, and he was oppressed for doing it. They tried to shut him down. They threatened his life. Conventional medicine tried to destroy his career. Well, they failed because now it's coming back with a vengeance. People are recognizing the healing power of these juices and these natural medicines found in foods and superfoods and herbs. And here to talk about it on the phone with us today is the daughter of Max Gerson, Charlotte Gerson. Charlotte, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to say, it's a real honor of mine to have you on the show because you and your family have done so much work against such great odds to educate people about this.
Yes, it's so important because there's so much money in drugs and drug industry and drug promotion. Now they want to promote it also for children's use, and they've more or less covered the use for middle age and older people. Now they want to open up a new market, and the new market is children. And so now they're pushing to drug children and make sure that they get drugs for high cholesterol or drugs for high blood pressure and drugs for depression. Imagine, for depression. This is ridiculous. They want to treat, not treat, drug children. And this is...
Yes. I see that they're now going to start promoting statin drugs for children.
Yes, for children, yes. The trouble is once these children are on drugs, they have to stay on them for the rest of their lives. And that's exactly what they're looking for, a new market with more and more people staying longer and longer on drugs. That's how they make money.
Exactly. And we have so much to talk about here, but just in case some of our listeners are not familiar with the Gerson Therapy or the Gerson Institute, can you give us a quick brief of what we're talking about here?
Yes. We are talking about a therapy that was developed by Dr. Max Gerson, my father, originally to control his own migraine headaches. And then he accidentally found out that with the same nutritional approach, by giving the body the proper nutrients and making sure it can be detoxified and functioning properly, he found first that it was also effective in overcoming skin tuberculosis. And then after the skin tuberculosis, it turned out that other forms of tuberculosis were also responding beautifully. And then it turned out that when he was healing tubercular patients under the auspices of the major Berlin hospital, when he was healing those patients, they often had other troubles like allergies, and they had high blood pressure, or they had maybe low blood pressure or kidney trouble or other things. And that's when he accidentally, by treating the TB patients, he found out that other diseases also responded and that he was truly healing the body. And that's how he parted company with orthodox medicine.
And what year was this happening?
Oh, this was 1932.
32?
Yes.
Okay.
32. Now, he was supposed to demonstrate these results before the combined German medical group in 1933. This was at the beginning of the year. And he was ready to do that when he found out that they didn't want him to do that. They didn't want this healing. They didn't want to, you know, to heal these chronic diseases that were making so much money. And they began to accuse him even. Can you imagine that? They accused him of falsifying and retouching his lung x-rays. Now, if you just take a tip of a pin to a lung x-rays, you know, those x-rays go through so many tissues, you can immediately see it. And of course he wasn't retouching anything, but they accused him. So he decided he needed to show that, no, these were perfectly good x-rays, and he wanted to present them to the top radiologist in Europe to certify that they were accurate and correct and to give his opinion. In order to do that, this man by the name of Felix Fleischner happened to live in Vienna. So he had to take all his stuff to Vienna for just a few days. He packed maybe two shirts and a pajama and, you know, a couple of pairs of socks and his x-rays. And as he crossed the borders, the Nazis pulled all the Jews off the train and started to beat them and kill them. And strangely, by some strange coincidence, he didn't get pulled off the train. And he continued on to Vienna. And he had, this was in front of him. He was supposed to demonstrate his life's work. And the whole German medical group was supposed to be there. It was the ultimate, the aim of his life. But he could never go back because of the Nazis.
This was in the day as well of I.G. Farben.
Oh,
this
yes.
was really the
oh,
birth
yes.
of
oh,
modern
yes.
pharmaceutical industry,
oh,
which
yes.
became Bayer. It became, you know, Glaxo and
mm-hmm.
Pfizer and all these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know what this reminds me of is... This was also the day of Einstein and Max Planck and
Correct.
A revolution in the sciences
Yes.
that took us from Newtonian physics to quantum physics. But that revolution in medicine could have happened at that time, but it was suppressed.
They suppressed
and it's been
it because there was too much money to be lost. They didn't want it. They didn't like it. They didn't want the idea of healing. They wanted drugs and drugging. The medicine is, you know, they train doctors. Doctors are drug pushers.
Yes. And I think of your father, Max Gerson, as the Max Planck
mm-hmm.
of the world of medicine.
Yes.
He should have been heralded as a hero of his time and set off a revolution in healing.
You know something that's very interesting? The guy who discovered the cause of skin tuberculosis got the Nobel Prize. And then skin tuberculosis was incurable. The guy who healed skin tuberculosis was my father. He never got the Nobel Prize.
Right.
And then from there, of course, he came to other tuberculosis, and then he started to treat other chronic diseases. It took a while, an additional, quite a lot of extra study, before he was able to cure cancer, because that, I believe, and he realized, that cancer is the ultimate damage and deterioration of the body's defenses. That's what it is. It's not a genetic problem. That develops later.
No.
It's not, it's not a local disease. So when you first cut out a tumor and you can say you got it, all the patient is cured, not a chance. That's absolutely untrue. That's why it comes back.
So we're talking now for almost 80 years this truth has been suppressed.
Yes.
How do you think Orthodox medicine, how have they been able to pull off this campaign of disinformation and oppression against Gerson therapies?
With publicity. They have huge amounts of money. That is the most powerful and the most remunerative industry of all. They have, just imagine what we are paying for Medicare.
Yes.
Okay? All of it is unnecessary. If people just learn how to eat correctly and they have no more pain, they have no more problems, they get rid of everything from migraines to heart disease and ulcerative colitis and arthritis, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're talking about a way that we could, in essence, probably prevent 90% of the cancers in our society and save our nation from medical bankruptcy, right?
Correct.
And yet, in order for that to happen, the drug companies would have to give up profits, the junk food companies would have to lose revenues.
That's the
And
problem.
They're the ones controlling Washington.
Well, that's what's controlling our government, and that's why we are having the problem with the FDA, which you know what we are calling it, the Food and Drug Administration. Well, anyway, the problems are so huge because they are so powerful, and they are able to suppress little people like the Gerson Institute and the Gerson Therapy and the Gerson Doctors, and they have made laws. Do you know there are laws that started in California and that spread pretty much all over the U.S. that made it illegal to use anything but surgery, radiation, and chemo in the treatment of cancer? And if a doctor or other health practitioner used any other method, God forbid, for instance, nutrition, he lost his license and went to jail. They were laws
this is
against
a very important
healing
point.
Cancer.
Yeah, our readers and listeners really need to understand this point. There's a book, in fact, I think the author is Kenny Ozubel. It's called When Healing Becomes a Crime that describes this in a lot more detail. But you're absolutely right. It is illegal. It is a crime to actually cure cancer or to treat it with anything that's not poison.
Yeah.
it's astonishing that this is happening. I want to remind folks listening that you are listening to an interview with Charlotte Gerson, and the website that you can go to learn more about the Gerson Institute is gerson.org. That's GERSON.ORG, gerson.org. And also, there's a movie out that documents this. The movie's called The Beautiful Truth. This is a must-see film. You can see it online. You can see trailers online, that is, at this website, www.thebeautifultruthmovie.com. Be sure to check that out. Now, where do we go from here, Charlotte? How do we overcome
the oppression? Well, we are starting to overcome because, first of all, the public is becoming painfully aware that Orthodox medicine is useless and harmful and doesn't help them. For instance, there is a new film out also works in the same direction. It's called Cancer, Healing Cancer from the Inside Out. And there's another similar movie out. It's now called Food Matters. That one was made in Australia. Both of those films feature the Gerson therapy, among other things. Okay, when this movie, Food Matters, was being played in Toronto, Canada, the line of people who wanted to see it went around the block of the movie. People are anxious for the information. The public is learning and understanding that their friends, their relatives, their loved ones, they're being treated with chemo, and all the other poisons, and they die miserably. They know, the public is understanding that Orthodox medicine is drugging and torturing people to death. And they want the information. They're looking for it. And we have the information. And it's easy.
And at the same time, you've got these institutions, the National Cancer Institute, which is, you know, a medical fraud at its highest level. You've got the nonprofit cancer, the pink ribbon campaigns, as if we could cure cancer by buying more stuff at the grocery store.
Well, you know, this is very interesting also. I'm sure you know that in 1972, our then President Nixon declared the war on cancer. And he said, if we throw enough money at this, we are going to solve it and we'll find a cure. And they threw money. But what they did, a total of approximately $39 billion of research was thrown at the cancer industry. But what happened? Who got this money? They were the chemotherapy people. They were the drug companies.
Yes.
And what did they research? Did they research nutrition? Did they research fresh fruit and fresh juices and detoxifying? No. They researched more toxicity, more drugs, more chemicals, and more chemotherapy drugs were born. So much so. And at the time, you see, 25 years after Nixon declared this war on cancer, so he did that in 72, add 25 years, 95, 97, the USA Today and one other, I think it was Time or Newsweek, also came out with a result of this $39 billion, our tax dollars, that had been thrown at the drug industry, which is the richest industry in the world. And what did they come up with? All right, in 1972, 222,000 Americans died of cancer. In 1997, 560,000 people died of cancer. And that was the result, doubled and almost tripled the number of deaths with all that excellent new research and all the money that they had poured into it. Nothing happened except more chemo, more drugs, more deaths, more misery, more suffering. It is terrible.
And even now, our new president, Barack Obama, I mean, his mother
died
of cancer. The day before
he
was elected.
Well, he doesn't know yet, and I don't know if we can reach him. This is always very difficult, because if he were to get, for instance, let's say a letter from me and or from the Gerson Institute and showing recovered patients or the books showing recovered or the DVD with professors showing recovered patients, what would he do? He said, I don't know anything about medicine. He'll pass it on to whom?
Yeah, the National,
Cancer Institute, or the supposed people who know, which are doctors. And what will they say? They say, no, it's quackery, no, it's illegal, no. They scream and yell and fight it. You know, there is something out which I don't know if you know. This was something that was published apparently in Switzerland. There was a book. It was written by a Hans Rusch, R-U-E-S-C-H, and the book was called The Naked Empress, part of the Great Medical Fraud, and was published by CIVIS in Lugano. Okay, so what did it say? Why they don't want to cure cancer? This is just an excerpt. They are saying that triumph over cancer would mortally threaten the present clinical establishment by rendering obsolete the expensive surgical, radiological, and chemotherapeutic treatments. Such fear, however unconscious, may result in resistance and hostility to alternative approaches in proportion as they are therapeutically promising. And this is the important part that's coming now. The new therapy must be disbelieved, denied, discouraged, and disallowed at all costs. That's what they're saying. That's the pharmaceutical industry talking. Regardless of actual testing results, and preferably without any testing at all.
Well, people paying attention know that the cancer industry today is not based on science, not even anything resembling science. It's based on politics.
It's based on politics and poisoning and drug sales and drugging.
Now, in what ways has the Gerson Institute been threatened or oppressed over all these 70 years?
Well, first of all, because we can't function because of these laws against healing cancer, we can't function with the clinic and with doctors in the U.S. So the only possible clinic is in Mexico. That's number one. Then orthodox medicine and the pharmaceutical industry, they scream and yell and tell the public, well, of course, they have to go to Mexico and hide because there are no laws there. That's not true, of course. But anyway, because they have to hide, they are useless and they are criminal and they are, you know, just taking the money off these dying patients by making wild promises. You know, they use that fact.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the major problem. Why can we not help people in the U.S.? Because it's illegal for doctors to function here and heal. You're not allowed to heal.
But it's amazing that most people who are not familiar with the reality of what's going on in orthodox medicine today, most people believe that they live in a free society. They think America's free, and they think that, you know, the FDA and the AMA and the drug companies are really all
that they're helping
looking
them
out for their
and
best
helping
interests.
And protecting
yes.
them. Nothing could be further from the truth. And several people who have withdrawn from the FDA have come out with exactly that statement. The public believes that the FDA and the groups, they're protecting them. And they are saying nothing could be further from the truth. It's not so. They're not. They're protecting the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, because the very same people who are working at the FDA come from the pharmaceutical industry. They know drugs, and after a stint there at the FDA, they go back to the pharmaceutical industry where they came from and where they're handsomely paid, and they are going to not damage those their employers.
The old revolving door policy at work. But it's fascinating that I know a lot of people in the medical industry, you know, being a health journalist, and I know I've talked to many, many people in public speeches, as you have. Many intelligent people will choose chemotherapy out of fear, but there's only one group that won't choose it, and those are the oncologists.
That's true. There's a large group of oncologists who say if they had cancer, they would not take chemotherapy. They know why not.
Yeah.
They promote and promote and promote, and that's all there is, and everything else is quackery, and everything else is a ripoff. That's what we are doing. It's quackery, and it's expensive. Of course, it's not expensive. It's cheap. It's food.
Yeah, it's very cheap compared to chemotherapy, and yeah. And what about the quality of life? They don't even talk about the quality of life. I actually had a family member die of cancer within 2 years or so, and you talk about taking money from dying patients. The drug industry said they could give him an experimental shot, one shot a week, and it might reverse his lung cancer. And the shot was going to cost, and it wasn't covered by insurance, the shot would be $14,000 per shot. That's what the drug companies wanted him to pay out of his own pocket.
Right. Okay, and by the way, the experimental chemo drugs are the most dangerous, and I try as much as possible to warn people. If they are told there is a new experimental drug on the market, and it is, and the doctors call it, it is promising. So promising, they don't promise anything, but the drug they claim is promising. And then they give these experimental drugs, they're extremely expensive, and all they're really doing is they're selecting dying patients. Well, they're dying anyway, so we might as well use them as guinea pigs, is what they feel. And they right. use them as guinea pigs to see how many shots and how much of this drug, that new experimental drug, they can use before the patient is dead. Don't
That's
let
right.
anybody ever use these experimental drugs or be a guinea pig for the experimental drugs. They're not promising except promising death. They're terrible.
Now, I see that women are especially heavily targeted by the cancer industry. There's a lot of fear put out there to try to persuade women that they need these annual mammograms.
As our president, current president, has discovered, fear is a powerful weapon. And you can instill enough fear and make people do what you're scaring them off.
Yes. And yet, you know, I see these people buying the pink ribbon uh-huh. products and running for, you know, to find the cure, yeah. whatever yeah. whatever that means. But nobody knows where the money goes.
It also goes in the pockets of the researchers in the pharmaceutical industry that are already the richest industry in the world.
Right. Right. It's an incredible con. If you look at the history of medicine and the mm-hmm. history of human civilization, this is a remarkable fraud. I mean, it's absolutely huge.
Yes. And you know what's also interesting? I think last week when you were interviewing Howard Strauss, my son, and he was talking about, you know, what was happening, and among other things about Dr. Gerson's hearing before a Senate committee way back in 1954. Anyway, at that time, the first time ever, a doctor demonstrated patients that had been sent home to die who recovered on this simple nutritional therapy, okay? And in other words, they can't say they don't know it. They do know it. It was published, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is this. Since 54, in those days, like I said, in 1972, 220,000 people died of cancer. But now, well over 560,000. In other words, actually, during those years, between 54 and now, which is roughly 54 years, the American pharmaceutical industry has killed more people than Hitler and Stalin together.
That's right. That's right. It is the single most dangerous industry to the health and safety of not just the American
people, but
people in across the world. And I read recently in the Wall Street Journal that Big Pharma is now beginning to target third world countries where incomes are coming mm-hmm. up, you know, Brazil mm-hmm. and India, well, it's not a third world country, but developing countries, because they know they can sell more drugs to gullible consumers in those countries.
Yes, and they can sell more damaged and junk food, and therefore they're more sick, and that's the way they can sell more drugs, sure.
Yeah. Now, let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about things other than cancer, but let me just remind those listening to check out your website, www.gerson.org. That's G-E-R-S-O-N. And also check out thebeautifultruthmovie.com to see the movie that documents this. It's a fascinating film. I've watched it. I love it. The narration, the journey of the young boy who discovers this truth, writing a report for school. I mean, it's an amazing film. But let's talk about what else Gerson therapy is useful for, because it's a lot more
yes,
than just
absolutely.
Cancer.
Absolutely. Well, like I mentioned earlier, when Dr. Gerson was starting to heal lung tuberculosis, he found that other forms of disease, allergies and asthma and high blood pressure and kidney disease, also disappeared. And he further elaborated on that, and he used the therapy then way before he was able to heal cancer. He used it also in arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, the so-called collagen diseases, the so-called autoimmune diseases. He used it in everything from Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, to heart disease and arthritic disease and, you know, how about Lyme disease? We have recoveries from Lyme disease. And their recovery, you know,
wow.
it's It is so simple. It is so easy because essentially the Gerson therapy is not a treatment for a disease. The Gerson therapy is designed to restore the body's own defenses against all disease. And that's the beauty of the treatment. And even though it might be known as a cancer treatment, but we have a lot of patients who don't just have cancer. They have heart disease to go with it, as well as some have diabetes and some have arthritis and some have all kinds of other problems along with their cancer. And all of it goes away. And that's the important thing to keep in mind. When you truly heal the body, everything heals. You cannot heal selectively. And that's what orthodox medicine does. They try to suppress symptoms selectively by causing new diseases and causing new troubles and new pains and having to use more drugs and so on. This is ridiculous. They're doing the opposite. On the contrary, when you truly heal, when you restore the body's ability to defend itself, when you restore the immune system, the enzyme system, the hormone system, the mineral balances, the essential organs, everything that's involved in human life, when everything is restored, all diseases disappear.
Well, this makes perfect sense to you and me and probably most of those listening, but to orthodox medicine, this is a mysterious, even suspicious explanation because they're stuck in the one drug for one disease mindset. And how could one thing possibly assist with a dozen different diseases?
Yeah,
but you already explained it.
It's easy enough to understand. And generally, the public does understanding. It's not rocket science. It's quite basic and understandable.
Right.
And you know, the fathers of medicine way back when you go to Hippocrates and something early, that's what they did. They used nutrition.
Yes.
They used herbal medicine. What is medicine? They were herbal things that grow out in nature to help us to control problems and infections and things like that and to keep the body functioning so that the body can deal with it. No problem. So how come we can cure Lyme disease? Okay, and we have cases.
And how it's almost hard to believe that we are talking about the state of the world as it is today, because how can this beautiful truth, as you put it, escape the doctors and the physicians and all of these people who are intellectually very capable?
Well, in many cases it doesn't escape them. In many cases it's simply that they can't earn money with it. And another thing is, of course, that in medical school, it's pumped into their heads that the only thing they can believe is anything they read in their medical journals. In the meantime, several people, authors, editors of the medical journals, have admitted that 90% of the stuff that shows up in medical journals is not true and is useless information.
Right.
But the doctors believe. And the only thing that they can go by is things that are published in medical journals. And then, you know, you have the system of controls, which is actually, coding everything, that Dr. Gerson already, way back, 50 and some years ago, he was not able to publish anything because it was simply barred from publication. He was not able to help doctors and others understand in medical journals how he was healing. And when they blocked it, then the management came out and said, well, Dr. Gerson refuses to publish. I still have the rejection letters what he tried to publish.
Well, they never tell the truth when they're criticizing Gerson.
They know how to lie and how to, tell the public what they want the public to know, not the truth.
Yeah, I remember listening to a conversation by, the so-called skeptics or the quack watch people who would say, oh, the Gerson therapy is useless. And then someone asks them, well, have you looked at the patient data? And they say, no, it's not worth looking at.
So
how
do
you
know? Exactly.
They're not interested in the science.
No, they even claim that it's not scientific. On the other hand, you see, we have doctors and professors, particularly a very interesting group in Japan, where one professor of medicine, one day developed a tumor in his colon. He wasn't able to pass his bowel. He had himself checked. Sure enough, colon cancer was blocking the bowel. And of course, they had to open him up and take the blockage out. And while they had him open, they found that his liver too was affected. He had already spreading of the cancer to his liver. Now, every doctor knows, and they even joke about it, that once it's in the liver, even God can't help you. Well, that's not true either. But anyway, he knew that, and he knew that he couldn't find help in Orthodox medicine. But he did find my father's book. It's called A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases. And it was translated into Japanese, so he used the book and cured himself. And while he cured himself, he also treated a dozen other patients of different cancers. And that book is available, but only in Japanese. It was never translated. Okay, so he not only cured himself and 12 others, but the interesting thing is that Orthodox medicine says that once it's in the liver, it's incurable. He is not only cured, not only his liver is clean, not only that, but he's still very much alive and active and treating others. This is now from 1992 till 2008. That's 26 years by me. No, 16, I'm sorry. 16 years, right?
And
he's well.
Yeah, if he had been on chemotherapy.
And he has influenced another doctor who is a top oncological surgeon in Japan, who is also putting his patients, after he gets to freeze them of any blockages, he puts them on the Gerson therapy after the surgery. And he says it's beautiful. It's just wonderful. He called it magnificent. They have no recurrences. They have no pain. And they heal much better and faster. And they promote, they say how wonderfully well the Gerson, these are professors of medicine. They say how well the Gerson therapy works. That, all of that is available on the DVD that's called Dying to Have Known. It's filmed. It's there.
What's the name of that DVD
Dying
again?
Dying to Have Known.
And where can people find that?
By the Gerson Institute.
Okay.
It's available also from, from Amazon. And it's distributed. It's available.
Okay. Now, another interesting point in all of this is that Gerson really spearheaded, I should say Dr. Gerson, spearheaded this movement that is even making waves today, which is the juicing or the raw foods movement. I mean, there's juicing, there's juice feasting, there's living foods. It's actually been taking off here.
It's taking off more and
more
because the public is beginning to see that that's the only way to heal. By the way, it's not all raw food diet. Please be careful because the public gets a little worried about that. The Gerson therapy does include a special soup. Dr. Gerson called it Hippocrates soup. It's a combination of various vegetables, including some herbal things and celery and tomatoes and onions and leek and things like that, common stuff. And it helps also to detoxify the kidneys. We are not working with one organ, not with one disease. We are working to get all the body systems back into function. So we use as many vegetables as possible to get all the most variety, the greatest variety of trace minerals. And a number of these are cooked. They're not all raw. And it's important because the public doesn't always trust just all raw food. They can't see themselves do that. But
I'm very active in the raw foods community and have spoken at the Raw Spirit Festival and many other places. I can tell you that most people who are followers of raw foods are not 100% raw either. Most are like 80% raw, and they eat cooked vegetables just like you talked about.
Well, we also actually, when you count the juices, the Gerson therapy is also about 80% raw. Actually, a little more.
Interesting.
The Gerson therapy includes a fresh glass of juice, freshly made from all organic produce, every hour, up to as many as 13 8-ounce glasses a day. That in itself requires roughly 17 pounds worth of fresh living vegetables, organic. Okay, so the rest, lot of the rest is cooked, including the special soup, and there's some baked potatoes and vegetables and things like that. So it's virtually 90% raw.
Yes.
Okay.
And so just to be clear, people can then experience this at your Gerson Institute
at the hospital,
clinic,
at the clinic
Mexico.
In Mexico. It's not possible. It's not permitted in the U.S.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. But So they go there and they stay for, I guess, about 3 weeks.
Mainly
Is that correct?
they stay for 3 weeks. It's relatively short time because you cannot undo the damage done in a lifetime of 30, 40, 50 years. You can't undo it in 3 weeks. It usually takes, to really fully restore and rebuild the body, takes as much as 2 years. So much of this therapy happens at home.
Uh-huh. So they go there
to learn and have a doctor, and so that their continuing work can be done also by telephone under the doctor's guidance. They send in their test results, and the doctors can discuss it with them and consult with them, and they carry on at home. And usually the body can be assumed fully restored in 2 years. We had a young lady right now. She came all the way from Western Australia 2 years ago with an incurable, highly aggressive ovarian cancer, and she's sent home to die. And she started at the Gerson Hospital in Mexico on the therapy, and she carried on at home in Western Australia near Perth. She is now back. She came back just to be here for the film, for the opening, just to show herself here. Here I am. I'm healed 2 years later. She looks so well. You know, it's funny. She requested for the long trip all the way from Western Australia. She asked the helpers on the plane, the stewardess or steward, could she perhaps, if possible, if there were seats available, could she have 3 seats so she could stretch out, that she had just recovered from a serious disease. They look at her. She looks brilliant. She looks healthier than anybody on the plane. So they didn't believe her. They did not give her any help.
Yeah, and I bet she looks 10 or 15 years younger than before.
She has white hair. But if she were to dye her hair, she wouldn't be a day over 35. She's 55.
Wow. Are these cases being documented
Absolutely.
So that you can show the
Absolutely.
Success?
Absolutely, it's documented. That's another interesting thing, too. She had an MRI at the hospital in Australia, in Western Australia. And she had documented tests and test results done and x-rays and things. When she came back and asked, you know, for an ongoing treatment, she didn't exist. They lost her records. Oh. You know, very often now, we see that when patients come back, if they have done well, the records are not available. They are lost or destroyed or they never existed. This girl never existed.
Well, right, because they don't want to acknowledge anything.
Don't want us to be able to document it.
Right, right. And because they would say that all the healing that happens there is just spontaneous
exactly.
remission without any cost.
And, you
cost,
know, spontaneous
right?
remission, the records they have of spontaneous remissions is like 1 in 200,000. So for Dr. Gerson to have 50 cases, imagine how many he would have had to treat.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So the better you document this, then, the more evidence you're going to have long term. And
yeah, we always try to make sure that the documentation that they have with them, that they can't suddenly be lost or destroyed or altered. They've altered them, too. You know, that's criminal. They've
yes.
altered records.
Yes. Well, anything to protect the
industry. Anything to protect their industry.
Now,
yes.
another question here is that when you're seeing patients at, well, not you personally, but the physicians at the Gerson Clinic Hospital in Mexico, they are not only charged with overcoming the cancer or helping the people heal to overcome the cancer, but they also have to help them overcome the chemotherapy and the radiation that many people have endured before they came to you, correct?
Absolutely. Now, chemotherapy is very, very bad and very toxic and very damaging, but we have overcome it in most cases, not 100%, sometimes it's just too much, but in most cases, except there is one single exception that we have come across. Now, you may know, because you're in this area, that when the orthodox medicine is dealing with pancreatic cancer, pancreatic cancer is literally incurable. They claim up to 2 to 5%. It's not even near that. We have a whole bunch of recovered patients from pancreatic cancer. The longest one, 23 years, everything from 6, 8, 10 years to 12 years and so on up. Recovered patients from pancreatic cancer, okay? But there is one problem. If a patient with pancreatic has received only a single shot of chemo, we can't help them.
Oh, really?
That's not true for any other cancer for some strange reason, and I don't understand it yet. We don't know why.
So maybe it's, you know, permanently damaged the pancreas just so quickly.
Yeah, well,
so quickly.
It's just somehow it's just beyond our reach. But all other cancers, we have virtually all of them can be reversed if they're not too deadly.
So this demonstrates the importance of people making an informed decision from the beginning. It's better to skip chemo. I mean, not even consider that option. Go
That's
the
right.
healing route
That's
instead,
right.
and you will have far better results.
Well, since the chemotherapists themselves wouldn't take it, and the public doesn't understand that. They say it's the only thing, and it'll extend your life, and you'll live longer, and blah, 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 which isn't true. They live shorter, and the miserable quality of life. But
yes.
They're so scared, and the doctors are so skilled at scaring them that they take chemo. You know, what can we do? In most cases, we can still overcome. There's one other very important thing to stress. The patients that come to Mexico are almost all in terminal condition. So when they first have some disease problem, they go to their regular doctor. And the doctors eventually refer them to oncologists and surgery and radiation and all of this stuff. Why don't they cure them? If they were to cure them, if they were so smart, we wouldn't be in existence. We wouldn't need to be around, right?
Right.
All right, so virtually all, more than 95% of the patients that come to Mexico are in terminal condition. How
wow.
come we can cure often as many as 30 to 40% in terminal condition?
Right.
Okay, now, then they come around and say, well, why don't you publish and why don't we ever see and you never publish any of those cases? And, well, there's one other problem here. When we see these people recover, who are we going to compare them to? Who else publishes terminal case recoveries? Well, terminal cases, they are dying, right? No, of course we don't
right.
publish that. Well, why should we have to publish it? Okay, so it doesn't make sense, yet they keep claiming, well, why don't you publish it? If you were to publish it, who would we compare it to?
Well, and plus, who would publish it?
And
which
who
medical
would publish
journal
it in the
accept
first place?
It? Yeah, they would reject it. I
yeah.
mean, you like you said, you've got the rejection letters from the past.
Yes. And they destroy the records. They destroy and alter the medical records.
What percentage of cancers do you think are preventable or reversible?
Preventable,
today?
I would say 100%.
And
this whole business of being genetic is nonsense.
Yes.
By the way, chances that I have the cancer gene are very high. My family, my grandmother and her daughter, my mother's sister, and several of them had cancer, okay? And chances that I have the gene are high, so why have I had no mammogram ever?
Yes.
Because I know that with the right nutrition, there's no chance that I'll have cancer. I'm 87, well, going on 87.
Wow, you're 87.
Yes, and I'm
You've
in
never
good
had a mammogram.
No mammogram, no doctor. I have no high blood pressure. I'm taking no drugs. I'm taking no hormones. I have no osteoporosis. I have no arthritis. I'm functioning. I'm busy. I'm active. I'm working. And I'm writing, and I have all kinds of radio interviews. I do lectures on the Cancer Control Society and various other places. I'm busy. I'm working.
Yes, and very productive, I might add. And, you know, it's astonishing. I mean, I'm only 39, so I'm less than half your age. But to you and I both, this is a normal lifestyle, to have no doctors, to be drinking fresh juice every day,
yeah.
to not need, you know, so-called screening for disease because we have complete confidence. But to other people out there, that position is incredibly fearful.
It's supposedly dangerous, right?
Right.
But the other problem is this. If you do a mammogram, first of all, they're not fully indicative, but if they find something, then they first have to go and do further testing and checking. By that time, you already have cancer. It prevents nothing.
Right, of course.
By the time they find something, it's too late. They got
that's
it.
The thing. Even in Obama's presidency yes. here, he's talking about investing in prevention, but I've read his plan. His prevention is focused on nothing but screening.
Yeah.
There is no prevention.
There's no prevention.
I mean, Not yet, anyway.
No,
Maybe
that's not
we can influence
screening
that.
Screening is not prevention. Screening is discovering it, and the earlier the better, then they can claim it's 3 or 5 year recovery.
Right. Well, I want to remind those listening that if you or someone you know is potentially dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I want to encourage you to get informed. Go look at the Gerson Institute website, gerson.org. Learn from the Cancer Control Society that you just mentioned. They have a website. There's a lot of great natural information, naturopathic-oriented information about
natural
cancer.
Natural healing
online.
Is available and is effective. Drugs do not heal. All drugs are liver toxic. You know, I have a great big fat book. It's called The PDR, The Physician's Desk Resume, over 3,000 pages. All drugs are described. There is no drug that is not liver toxic and has toxic damaging side effects. All drugs are dangerous, no exception.
Yes. That book functions as a nice monitor stand, by the way. It's a good size for that.
Okay.
Charlotte, I want to thank you so much for taking the time
My
to
pleasure.
Share your thoughts
and
with us today.
If we can help, if we can only help one other person survive and get away from those terrible treatments, it will have been worth it.
I can tell you right now.
We have helped hundreds and thousands. And my book has been published in various languages. It's now being translated and has been already in a total of 9 languages. And the film is going to play all over the world. And we are hopefully going to help the public understand health and healing and real prevention with good nutrition. That's all. Instead of eating junk and junk food and empty calories and poisoned stuff, okay? It's not all that difficult.
Yeah, it's really not. We don't need another $1 billion and another army of scientists
studying
this.
No, and all the money
Mother
they're
Nature.
Still demanding for research, 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 research. The research is for more poison and for more drugs and for more chemicals and for more suffering. It's terrible.
That's right. The cures exist right now, folks. They have existed for at least 70 years, and they are available to you right now. Check out gerson.org. to learn more about that. Thank you, Charlotte. It's been a real honor talking with you today.
It's my pleasure, and I appreciate being on with you, and I hope that we can make a difference.
We are making a difference, and I thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Mike, for doing what you're doing. We are all working together.
Indeed. Indeed we are. Okay, that's the show, folks. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Again, check out these websites, thebeautifultruthmovie.com. and gerson.org. And you know what? You can cure cancer. Your body already knows how to do it. All you need to do is give it the right resources.
Right.
Thanks for listening, and take care.